We are joined right now by the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, second season with the Bucks. He is a two-time NBA Coach of the Year, won four NBA titles with the Spurs organization. Milwaukee is out quickly. They're 18-3. They're tied for the best record in the NBA. They're at Detroit tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Mike Budenholzer. Mike, it is so good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
Good, good, Mike. So 18-3, 12 straight. That's the longest winning streak for the Bucks in more than 35 years. I should probably rephrase that question. How is life right now, and what's it like coming to work every single day knowing the potential this team has?
Yeah, no doubt life is good. Incredibly fortunate to, you know, have this team, be working with great players. Giannis is beyond words to, you know, try and describe what he brings every day to practice, to the gym, to the organization. So, yeah, as a coach, it doesn't get much better than this group.
You know, speaking of Giannis, I could get into the culture in just one moment and what you've created there. But last week, Giannis, Mike, had a game against the Jazz where he went for 50 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, no turnovers. Given how tough Utah is defensively, how amazing was that performance even for Giannis?
Yeah, no, it stands out. He's done a lot of amazing things, you know, since I've been here for a little over a year. But to go for 50 and not turn it over against a team coached by Quinn Snyder and Utah Jazz, it's very, very impressive. So, you know, he continues to do special things, and hopefully we keep putting him in good positions and he keeps doing it.
Mike Budenholzer is my guest. Not only that, Mike, but when you look at Giannis, it's the intangibles also that he brings to it. Giannis said, quote, "We've got to do our job. It starts with the coaching staff. It starts with the leader. We're not coming out here and thinking about the 12 games we've won. We're thinking about how can I do my job? How can I win tonight? And that's the most important thing. We've got Detroit next. How can we win in Detroit? How can we go in there and play good basketball and win?" End of quote. I mean, it seems like it would be really easy for guys maybe to get caught up, maybe to start to read the headlines, believe their own hype. So how do you and the players make sure everybody stays locked in?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're big believers in our process. We kind of have our routines, and we really believe in trying to get better every day. We put a lot of time and effort into player development, and you know, if the guys are getting better individually, then we're getting better collectively, and there's just a genuine focus and effort and belief in that, and we don't kind of vary from it much. We do our work each day. We come in and we understand what winning basketball is. We try and do it every night and not be too high or too low with what happens in the games, and just keep working and keep grinding every day.
You know, Mike, when you got there, you talked about culture, process. Maybe those words are interchangeable. It seems like every single coach, Mike, that I talk to in any sport talks culture, and I'm always fascinated by it. So how would you describe your culture, and when you wanted to get there and develop winning habits, what kind of habits were you looking to preach?
Yeah, I mean, on the end part, the habits, we really felt like this team could be great defensively and, you know, build habits with like, I think, a real individual responsibility, individual accountability. Could they lock in and really guard and take responsibility for being great? And then could they work well collectively defensively? So we've, you know, kind of gotten away from, you know, I would say we're more fundamental, more individual accountability, making them work, get after it, and, you know, cover for each other at the same time. So, and culture-wise, you know, I think we want to be a place where we really care about our players. They feel it. They see it every day from, you know, the second they stop into the facility, whatever it is we're doing, they see we care about it. We think about it. And, you know, I think that pays off for us when they go out on the court. You know, they're ready to go. They play hard. They play for each other. They play unselfishly. So, and we're always working to make them better. It's good for them, you know, at this stage of their career, as they move forward in their career, if they're improving, good things are going to happen for them and good things are going to happen for us.
Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer joining us, which brings me to the next point, actually. You know, a lot of people in the organization talk about when it comes to you, obviously you're a great tactician, but you understand people. You understand how to push the right buttons. I know you're not going to make it about you, but how much of the job now is about tactics and teaching, and how much of it is about the personal relationships with the players, with the coaching staff, pretty much everybody involved in the organization?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it takes both. I think the great coaches that, you know, I look up to, that we all, you know, talk about and admire from a distance, they do both. But the relationships and to be able to connect with your players and hopefully get them to push themselves. I do think it becomes more about the personal relationships and connecting with them and understanding them. And, you know, each of them's different and unique. And so if you can do that, then I think that's a huge step towards, you know, having some success and being somebody that, you know, is a good coach. The X's and O's, my guess is all of us can do them. I don't want to say they're not complicated, it's not difficult, but you know, it's X's and O's. It's the personal, the touch, the culture, all those things that is it's harder. It's more complicated, and you got to believe in it. You got to figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and stick to it.
So I'm curious, Mike, so like, where does that come from? If most of you guys or all of you guys can X and O at that level, and we're talking about these people skills, where do they come from? Like, are you wired with it? Are you born with it? Or do they come maybe from your early days of growing up and playing ball for Holbrook High School in Arizona on a team with players from so many different backgrounds? Did that help you?
Yeah, I think it's all of it, you know, from, you know, where you grow up and your family, your parents, brothers, sisters, the high school. I mean, I was lucky playing with half my team were Navajos from the reservation, and a lot of diversity, a lot of different backgrounds, and playing Division III ball, and all the years with the Spurs, working with Coach Pop. And it's just so many things that go into, I think, teaching you, you know, how to coach and connect with players. And I guess I'm probably born with it a little bit, or coaches are born with it a little bit, and you just got to run with it.
Mike Budenholzer joining me for a few more moments. You know, for those who do not know about basketball in the Navajo community, how intense are the games, and what do you remember about those days, and in particular, the spring tournaments?
Yeah, you've done some research. Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing like basketball in the Navajo reservation, and really the Apache reservation also. You know, I could tell you stories about high school games where, you know, our home gym was literally packed with the visiting team who's coming in off the reservation. People are there for the freshman game at 4:30, and you got to tell your family if you want to see it, you got to be there for the freshman game at 4:30, and our game's not till 7:30, or else there's no room in the gym. They love hoops, you know, and then in the spring you're playing in these tournaments, you're playing against, you know, I'm a 16-year-old high school kid playing against 35-year-old, 40-year-old, you know, Navajo men that still love to hoop and run and shoot. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Like, that's crazy. Like, what was that like? What's it like being a teenager going up against a, you know, a grown bleep man, an aggressive guy who loved to hoop?
I had a couple bloody noses and some teeth knocked out. And I think they want to hold their space in life and keep you down for as long as they can. But it was fun. It toughens you up.
Hmm. Before I let you go, you mentioned family. You and I have talked in the past about your background in playing for your dad, Vince. But when you look back, how special were those days of playing with guys like BJ Little, players from so many different backgrounds?
Yeah, it was great. No, I'll forever be grateful for growing up in a small town and having friends like BJ Little, Scott Alexander, all these guys from different backgrounds. And it's a huge part of who I am today. And I appreciate you for even caring or looking it up or knowing. And I don't know that your listeners care, but nah, it was special times.
Now, I appreciate you saying that, Mike, and I appreciate you coming on this show and making time for it and being accessible. Let me finally ask you, you know, I've talked to the San Antonio Spurs players over the years about what it's like to play for Pop. What was it like to work for Pop?
Yeah, it was special. You know, like we talked a little bit about just the care factor, you know, when players know you care about them. And in my case, the staff, as an assistant coach, you know that Pop cares about you. He wants good things for your family and your life. But there's also an intensity. You want to do your job well. You don't want to make a mistake. You know that he values your opinion. He values your work. And it just makes coming to work, you know, good every day. You feel very important and feel like what you're doing makes a difference.
And finally, Mike, was he good about, I mean, if you have a staff and you need a really good staff and it's going to make your life and your job easier, but you want guys that are ambitious, you want guys that want to go out on their own, guys like you, was he good about kind of walking that line about, yeah, I need you here and I appreciate you here, but I'm gonna do whatever I can to help you get your own shot?
Yeah, no, for sure. He was always encouraging, you know, all of us. A lot of us are now coaching in the league, but he wanted you to grow and push the limit and go out on your own and try and do it yourself. And he was always pushing us to grow and to be better, and he never ever made us feel like we had to stay or held us back in any way. He was very much pushing us and helping us any chance he got.
Milwaukee's got the best record in the NBA. They're tied right now at 18-3. They're at Detroit tonight in his second season with the Bucks, a two-time NBA Coach of the Year. I want to reiterate, Mike, I appreciate the relationship, and I appreciate you making time for this show. Always good to have you on. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Mike Budenholzer joining us. That's a great conversation. I always look forward to that one. Milwaukee, 18-3. And by the way, he's got four NBA titles with the Spurs as well. And they've got the look now. He's in only his second year. That culture has taken shape and form, and they're playing really well and playing together and hungry every single night.